Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the SCB Steelers Podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hope everybody's good down there. Hopefully my parents haven't decided to run you all into crazy town. Anyway, Steelers talk this week. Obviously, we'll surround Mr. Terrell Edmunds, some stuff coming up on that, what the Steelers are going to do on the interior, because we have questions, and a lot of people are gonna want answers. That's for damn sure. Hello to Noah and Burner in as usual, and hello to my three
sons.
Cohorts, my three sons. You know, that was a fine program. It was a fine program. Frederick Murray, everyone.
That was before my time.
Yeah, well, it was before mine too, but I did. I was young, old enough to have seen all of the reruns. Anyway, Scarps is here. Ben's here. Ian is here. And Ian, I can't quite read what is under your name. What does that say?
It says Ben sucks. Ben sucks. Because I realized when I logged in tonight, it was like, put an optional headline.
Yes, I had it last week and nobody said a word.
I didn't notice it last week.
Yeah. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Yours is perfect. Yes.
Yeah. Very common theme for this quadrant. Quadrumburn? No, that's triumvirate. Fuck it, whatever. Anyway,
we do often joke that SCB Slack is like that scene in Spaceballs where
yes,
it's like, keep firing assholes. How many assholes we got on this ship anyway?
They all raised their.
What a great movie!
It's truly beautiful. Yes. Spaceballs the sequel. It never happened, but I'm okay with that. Anyway,
to the search for more money.
The search for more money. That's right. I loved it. Hello to Freak and Jen and Claude. And right away, Freak has a very good question because I was getting ready to ask that myself. He is moving. He is moving, and that's good. So we do know he's live. And funny, she doesn't look Drewish. We could probably do a whole damn show.
I don't know.
Strictly on the.
I know exactly why. I love it. But what Rick Moranis says, I bet you she gives great helmet. That's fucking. I mean,
the delivery is about 80% of it, too. He just nails the delivery. Oh my God. Okay. Our Ben's almost 60. He needs his rest. Well, you know, he is closing in on that. Anyway, welcome again, everybody. And guys, I'm just going to start you out with a question. I'm going to ask this every week, right up to the draft. Right now, whether you want to go with your gut or your brain, and I'm going to go to Ben first just to make sure that he's alive. Ben, right now, who are the Steelers taking at pick number 17?
Joey Porter Jr.
Oh my God. Way to start this show.
I really fucking hope I'm wrong, but that's who I think they're taking. I'd prefer a couple or three other cornerbacks. One of them's going to be gone already.
I'm starting to think two of them.
I think Banks is going to be a stud.
Yeah.
I would like them to take him. And I don't mean Bryant Banks. I mean, is it Deontay Maryland kid?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a stud. Bryant Banks, you know, I'd be okay with that pick. You know, they need a safety. Put him at safety though. Don't put him at corner. He wants to play corner. Put him at safety. Some people are saying, well, Deontay Kazee will be just fine at strong safety. It's not a big deal. This is a guy who is 3 inches shorter.
Here's a guy.
And 30 pounds lighter than Terrell Edmunds. He ain't the guy to play box safety. He's not that guy.
No.
That is an easier skill set to replace than a good center fielder, quarterback of the defensive backfield, free safety like Minka. Okay. We'll talk about really shitty free safeties later too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that. But so right now, if you had to, you know, lay it down, the Steelers are taking this game, you'd say
JPJ.
JPJ. All right.
Yeah. And I'm not going to be stoked.
Okay. All right. Scarps, same question to you right now. If the Steelers were going to pick, who you got at 17?
Come back to me, because I don't want to say Joey Porter. Because I don't want to say Joey Porter Jr. Although I just feel it's going to lean that way.
You've been on that for like
let me put my bifocals on and look at the old
all right, Ian,
mock.
Go for it.
I've been saying don't sleep on Branch for a few weeks now. Ben stole some of my thunder about you know, you got to play him at safety, but you know, Branch has said all along he has tried to sort of model his game after Minkah Fitzpatrick, and maybe he is a little more of a free safety than a strong safety. Right. But I think, you know, when Minkah came out, there were questions about whether he was a safety or a slot corner. Absolutely. And there were questions of, is it worth spending a first round pick on a guy who's basically just a slot corner? Mm-hmm. And then Miami tried to play him at slot corner and he hated it. And then came to Pittsburgh and we put him at free safety, and he's been an all pro three times in 4 years.
That's a good move.
So, you know, the other thing is, though, true center field, single high ball hawking free safeties, as Ben said, are extremely rare. Mm-hmm. And if you have a chance to get one of those guys, like a Brian Branch, you should probably go do it, because what he would enable you to do with Minkah already on your team is to be multiple in your defensive backfield looks, that you could play, you know, a true cover two. You could play a cover one and move one of the guys up into a robber position. You could basically interchange the two of them between mm-hmm. him and Minkah. My concern is I wouldn't want to see them try and do the Sean Davis thing where they're like, oh, we're going to play you at both safety and slot corner. And then he gets too confused and doesn't learn either of them.
Yeah.
And you know, it kind of ruins his development. Like if you bring him in and want him to be a safety, like don't put him in as your slot corner, like let him just be a safety. And if you want to have him as the safety covering a slot receiver, that's fine, but don't make him try and learn two positions as a rookie.
Fair. Fair.
But I've been on the Branch bandwagon for a while. I think Terrell Edmunds not re-signing with the Steelers makes it even more likely. The one other position that I'm going to just throw out there that seems like it's being slept on a little bit by Steelers Twitter right now is edge rusher. They've spent a lot of time scouting some of the top edge rushers in this class and gone to a couple of their pro days too. I mean, obviously Will Anderson at Alabama's, you know, in
Tomlin was there today
in contention for, you know, a top five pick,
right?
But like Lucas Van Ness from Iowa, Nolan Smith from Georgia, the other kid from Iowa State, Will McDonald. I don't know if he's a first round pick, but I mean, we've got three picks in the top 50. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see them take an edge rusher fairly early in this draft and sort of start preparing for life after Alex Highsmith.
Yeah. And Berner just asked that question on here. And we started talking a little bit about it this week in our Slack channel that, you know, look, I think everybody thinks it's a foregone conclusion that, oh, well, we'll just sign Highsmith to an extension. Everything will be fine. But you know what? He and his agent have a number too, and they're basing it very much on his performance last year, and what he what they think he can do in the coming year. So they might not want to do that this year. I don't know. So yeah, you've got to prepare for that. Scarpino, have you had time to think?
We talked about this just to Ian's point. We talked about this amongst ourselves this week.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not planning for the possibility, for the contingency that Alex Highsmith could leave, given the lack, it's puddle deep. You've got very one guy who is a practice squad level player in Jones behind them, and that's it. And you know, it's if they are not planning for the possibility that Highsmith could leave, they should be fired.
Yeah, you have to prepare for these eventualities.
Yes.
You just do. Potential eventualities.
And I think to build on that too, something that we talked about on the show a lot when Bud Dupree was in the last year of his contract, and it was Ben's point, and it was a good one, was that the Steelers may have a number in their head of how much they're willing to spend on the outside linebacker right. position. And considering they gave TJ Watt the biggest contract ever given to an outside linebacker, right. that may have eaten up almost all of that number, and they right. may not be willing to spend, you know, $20 million yep. each on two outside linebackers.
And I think, I think that you know, the same thing hit them this year with Minka's contract. And, you know, I do not think that what Cam Sutton signed for was an unreasonable number, especially when you look at his cap hit this year. Mm-hmm. They absolutely could have done that if they were inclined.
Right.
And now, I don't know that they had the opportunity, as we discussed. We don't know if they had the opportunity to match. My guess is they probably did, and they passed. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. But yeah, they didn't get better in the defensive backfield thus far with who they've signed, and they got older, and they're still spending an awful lot of money on the defensive backfield. So they probably have a budget. They're just mm-hmm. going, okay, we're going to spend this much here and this much here and this much at defensive line and that, and that's it, you know, and we got to stick to it.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I think when you look at what you just mentioned, the fact you're paying Watt, you're paying Hayward, you're paying Minka, you can't just throw any number at Highsmith. You're going to have to budget wisely. Yeah.
And in 24, you know, there's going to be a real strong possibility that Cam Hayward is asked to take a pay cut mm-hmm. or get cut.
Right. Right. Scarps, have you had a chance to think of your number 17 there?
I have.
All right.
I'm like Aaron Rodgers, holding you in suspense.
Oh, for God's sake.
No. Are you going to do a darkness retreat?
Yeah,
are
you in the dark on your Ayahuasca scoo or whatever it's called?
Ayahuasca.
That's it.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you just got to, you know, see what happens. Lose my
sounds art. A lot like art, too, doesn't it?
Sounds like art, not yeah. Aaron.
If you close, listen to both of them and close your eyes, you won't be able to tell the difference.
No, they're very much the same.
Yeah. Real quick about Highsmith, I also think that Highsmith was a totally different player when TJ Watt is on the field, and I think that that's important. And obviously, you know, TJ Watt is an all pro, and you know, having him there, I think not only does he make his teammates better, but you know, obviously other teams right. have to game plan for him. But
yep.
So I don't want to just, you know, say that. I mean, I do believe Alex Highsmith is going to get a nice payday, but I don't think, you know, him leaving is that big of a deal. So for 17, I'm gonna go with Broderick Jones from Georgia, a tackle. Ooh, nice. And I would be so okay with that, because I do think, yes, they need corners, but I don't want to reach for Joey Porter Jr. I don't know if Christian Gonzalez is going to be there or the kid from Maryland Banks, but we'll see. So I'm going to go with Broderick Jones.
Yeah, you know, you
that
guys.
That would be a nice pick. That wouldn't piss yeah. me off at
no,
all.
No, it wouldn't piss me off either. I don't think he's going to be there, though.
I mean,
I wouldn't hate him or either of the tackles from Ohio State or the kid from Northwestern. Any of those four I'd be okay with.
The only problem with Jones is I just don't see him as a left tackle.
I see him as a right.
Right, and we know what Chook looked like at left. Not saying he couldn't be better, but
yeah,
I mean
it wasn't pretty.
No, that's my only concern. But I agree with what you're saying. But I would like Broderick Jones. I think the Banks kid out of Maryland. I just got this gut feeling that they like him.
Man, I really hope you're right, because I really like that player.
I mean,
I really like him. He is just nifty.
Did he get a scholarship too?
I don't know.
The kid
just has some really nifty feet, and he just moves his hips so fluidly. It's just like, Jesus, man, how do you? Oh,
yeah.
There are a lot of good. This is a good corner class. It really is.
It's amazing. It's good and it's deep.
Yeah.
No, it is. I mean, I can see guys going fourth, fifth, sixth round that are going to be major contributors in the league. Ian, you know, go ahead.
The other possibility is that they trade out of the pick altogether and pick up some more picks. That wouldn't shock me because this class is that good, especially at the top.
Right.
If you could get, if you could slide back a little bit and pick up a, like a late third.
Will Ike Taylor, fourth round pick. Will Gay, fifth round pick.
Yeah, but I mean,
what about all the other fifth round picks? The Terry Hawthorne.
Yeah, forgive me. Sorry, Terry Hawthorne.
What about Hank Potee?
Shaq Richardson.
Hank Potee.
Hank Potee could punt return at least.
Yeah. Senquez was a second round pick.
Yeah.
And was snake bitten.
Yeah, dude, that guy. And
I felt bad for that dude.
He was a good guy. Man. You know, it seemed like he was a good dude. He just could not stay healthy.
To answer Berner's question, Banks is all over the place. I've seen him in the late second, and I've seen him in the late first now. So
I've seen Banks as early as 15.
Okay.
And as late as, like you said, the mid second.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's all over the fucking place.
But you know what you were saying, Ben, he looks like a Steeler cornerback. He just has a lot of those things that they like.
He's a better Cam Sutton is what he is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
He's a better version of Cam Sutton.
Yeah.
He's a versatile guy.
He hasn't even played a snap in the NFL and you're already saying he's better than Cam Sutton.
Yeah. He's more talented. He is.
He has the potential to be more talented. He's more athletic.
No. He has the potential to be a better player. He's a better athlete now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a smart player. He's versatile, inside, outside, yada, yada, yada.
He's a better athlete against lesser competition. But
that's fair. That's fair.
Whoa. Big Ten, lesser competition?
Man, I'm so old. Maryland used to be in the ACC.
I knew that. I'm
playing devil's advocate. But
right.
I agree. And Cam played in the SEC.
Right.
This kid, he tests better. He looks better on tape than Cam looked, is the best way I can describe it. He's also a little bit more physical. No corners are physical so much anymore. You just don't see it very often, at least not in college.
Right.
So, you know, that was the big knock on Cam when he came out. We were like, can't tackle.
Right, and he had the injury issues. And But
in the same vein, this guy is smart. Cam was smart. Good communicators. You want them in the defensive backfield.
Yep.
You know, you got Minka, thank goodness. You got Patrick Peterson. We said this last week. If they draft a couple of corners out of this class and have Patrick Peterson kind of bring them along, shit, then that was a great signing.
Yeah. And I think if that they was don't, part of the plan. Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought for weeks this is going to be a two-corner draft, and I'm going to stay with that. I just think it is. I think they'll take somebody early rounds, and I think they'll take somebody mid to late, you know?
I mean, they could go corner at 17 and 32 for all we fucking know.
You're right.
The problem with that was something I was going to add when Ben mentioned about picking up a mid to late round pick. We don't have a pick between the fourth round and the seventh round. We have a pick in the middle of the fourth and then one in the middle of the seventh.
Right.
We've traded away our fifth and sixth. So, but to my point is, if you can slide back a couple picks and get another pick in that mid round range, late third through mid fifth, I'll say somewhere in there for sliding back a couple picks, it's worth it. I think the other thing that's not being talked about right now is the potential for us to move up from 32 back into the first round.
Yes.
With our second pick.
Maybe.
Because, and the value of that is that you get the fifth year option on a first round pick contract. Mm-hmm. That if there's a player, and teams have done this for years now, since they put in that fifth year option.
It's been a huge thing.
That
huge
teams
deal.
In the early second round, once you get to pick about 25, 26 or so, those last five picks of the first round, teams will move up to one of those picks just to get a player that has a fifth year option. Yeah. Heck, the Ravens did it for Lamar Jackson at pick 32. That, you know, players like that, that if there's somebody you like enough that you want to have that fifth year option for their contract, it's worth moving up a few spots to go grab.
I think it's more likely that they hang on to that pick, anticipating the fact that someone is going to want that. There's going to be some player left after the first round that some team covets, and they're going to want that pick. And overnight, they're going to be able to auction it off. to pick up more draft capital.
Oh yeah, that's an option too, of course.
I think really the value in this draft class is in like the first 100 picks. So rounds 1 through 3.
Yeah.
And after that, it starts to shallow out a little bit. But that's typical. I think at the top of this class, it really is a good quality class. And man, if you could get like an extra pick in there someplace somehow, shit, I it'd be hard for me to knock it. Even if they lost a player they really kind of wanted at 17, if they picked up another pick in the first 100 by doing it, by sliding back, it's kind of hard to turn that down. You know, it's two players as opposed to one. I mean, shit.
I could be wrong here, but it seems like every year, the morning of day two, there's always a team that moves up. If not to like that very top of the second round, it's really close.
Yeah.
Just seems to happen every year. So I agree with you guys. I think that's a real possibility.
There are guys like Jerry Jones in the world that'll overpay for a pick
for sure
because there's somebody out there they really really want.
Oh yeah, there's always somebody. At least you hope there is.
There's always some asshole.
Now here's an asshole.
I like assholes. That's my Jerry Jones. I wasn't that good. I need to drink more. Give me a second.
Yeah, keep drinking more so we get better impersonations. Terrell Edmunds, I little strange. I mean, he puts out the emoji, which of course everybody immediately goes berserk over, and then eventually tweets out this "Thank you so much, Pittsburgh," and blah 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 and everything else. But does anyone know where Terrell Edmunds is going?
No one, and nobody's announced it.
No,
and I'm just going to put it out there. I had heard the day before. The day before KZ was signed, I had heard from somebody in the building that Edmunds had a deal he thought he liked. And I said, okay, so are they going to match? And he just said, I don't know. And then they signed KZ, and I was like, well, fuck, maybe they're not going to. And then nothing happened. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that fell through, whatever it was, and there was nothing reported any place. And then today he comes out with this thing. Thank you so much, Pittsburgh, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be gracious and tell you all that I love you and blah, blah. And you're all part of my journey. And thank you. And there's no announcement, nothing. It just seems the whole thing just seems weird. This has been going on for a week and a half.
I almost felt like it was an April Fool's thing for a minute. And I kept thinking, well, we're a week out from that yet. Because normally when a player does that, then within an hour or so, you usually see why, where they're going.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter or Rappaport or somebody pops up and goes, Terrell Edmunds is signing a blah, blah, blah deal with this team, and this much is guaranteed, and how much? This is the total value of the deal. Nothing.
I wonder if it isn't one of those things where he has been told by the Steelers, look, this is as high as we're going, and he's – he and his agent are like, well, that's not high enough, so we're out. You know, I don't know. Of course, I can.
Maybe
that situation seems like it would have played out last year when he had to come back for what, 1 year and $2.5 million.
Is that all it was?
Yeah, okay, that's what he played for last year. And I mean, the dude is better than that. He's worth more than that in my book. But at the same time, I don't know. Something's just really bizarre about it. Now. There's Let's that. Assume that he is gone. As you pointed out in the very beginning, Ben, this is not a position for DeMonte KZ to slide into. All right.
And not in the same way. I mean, I guess theoretically, you know, the guy could play there if you needed him to, but it's not ideal.
No.
KZ is not the guy I would want. Covering a tight end across the middle. Okay.
Right.
You know, I mean, honestly, there are a lot of tight ends that are so big as it is that Edmund struggled to cover them. All right. You put a smaller guy against them. It just doesn't, to me, it just doesn't pencil out. If we had a linebacker who could fucking cover, it wouldn't be that pressing a need, but we don't have one. I know they just signed two guys. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Good leadership guys, good tacklers. It'll help them with the run game, blah, blah, blah. But neither one of those guys can cover.
No, I just think there's – and if you look at the free agents out there that are available, and I know Taylor Rapp's out there.
I love Taylor Rapp.
Well, I mean, I liked him coming out. I don't know that I like him as much now.
Yeah. Here's the thing about KZ. I feel like KZ's best spot is in a cover two safety look where he can play half the field. He can read it and he's got good ball skills. He can read and react and he can close fairly quickly. If you're asking him to come down into the box, you know, he can be a physical hitter, but I don't think he's not a in the box guy that's going to be able to work his way through the traffic of an offensive line like Edmonds could.
And I liked him in that three safety look they ran last year where he played center field.
Yeah.
And it freed Minka up to play instinctively.
Yes.
Just to Minka could just kind of ad lib freelance a little bit. Mm-hmm. And because you knew you had KZ there at the back end.
Yeah.
So Minka knew he had cover behind him. He could kind of take some chances and he made some plays as a result. That was great. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know, it seemed like they really liked that three safety look last year.
And don't forget, he got to go out and draft Brian Branch.
Well, and he got hurt. Don't forget.
That would be awesome. I mean, Brian Branch would not disappoint me in the least. I'd be like, yeah, there are a bunch of guys, honestly. I feel like we're going to get a good player. It's like, which one? And honestly, JPJ, I already talked about this. He's like the least appealing pick I can think of right now.
So I want to go
guys that are going to be there.
If they want a guy who's, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I was looking at the free agents since Mark asked about free agent safeties. I mean, if they want a guy who is probably going to be relatively cheap to be a true like box safety against the run, right, I'd look at a guy like Landon Collins, who is only 29 years old. He only got paid $1 million and change last year with the Giants. He's not a cover guy at all. He's not going to cover tight ends, but I mean, it may be kind of similar to Taylor Rapp. Like the dude can hit, he can work his way through traffic and he can play against the run. And maybe between him and KZ, you can piece together enough to have two safeties.
I mean, if that's what you're going to do, just re-sign Marcus Allen and put him back at safety.
Oh, no. No.
I'm just saying. And as
I know what you mean. Yeah.
If they took Joey Porter Jr. at 32, I'd be okay with it.
I don't want Joey Porter Jr. at all.
I'm just not happy with the guy at 17. I mean, he's gonna have some value. He's a long player.
Scarps, if his name was Steve Perry Jr., would you be more open to it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And I don't mean the son of Journey singer Steve Perry. No.
That's what he means.
Oh. Oh.
No, cool. I mean,
what are you talking about then?
what I meant to say was Vince Neil Jr.
He'd have looks to kill.
Well played.
You know, I just want to say something real quick. And I understand, I understand being a fan, but I feel like Steelers fans, especially Steelers Twitter fans, just blindly follow and whatever the Steelers do. And
no,
and I saw. I mean, for as many. Hey, you know. Good luck to Terrell Edmonds. Thanks for everything. I saw just as many. Oh, we don't need him. We won't miss him. You know, KZ's better. And it's like,
underappreciated.
Right, I was like, you're banking on a lot of stuff coming out of KZ because he was hurt last year. I know he broke his arm or whatever, you're looking at a small sample size with him as a Steeler. And you know, you lose Cam Sutton, you lose Terrell Edmonds, who by the way, have played the second most games out of any Steelers defender in the last 5 years. So they're reliable. They're dependable. They're always available. And you bring in a Patrick Peterson who probably still has some stuff left in the tank, but he's going to be 33 years old. you know, I said this to you guys earlier, and I believe I tweeted it, but like, you know, Lawrence Timmons was a first round pick. He was Mike Tomlin's first ever first round pick. And Lawrence Timmons didn't make that many Pro Bowls. I don't think he ever, I think maybe he only ever made like an alternate as a Pro Bowler.
He was in the Pro Bowl twice, but I can't remember if he was a first pick or if he was an alternate.
I think he was an alternate, but he never made an APL pro.
Nah.
But Lawrence Timmons was solid as hell.
For 10 years.
Yes, yeah. For 10 years.
Yeah. That's a good pick.
He led the team in tackles probably almost every year he was here. And you know who else was a high tackler? Terrell Edmunds. And you know what? He's going to go somewhere else, and he's probably going to play at least five more years. So everybody out there being like, oh, he's not worthy of the first-round pick. Okay, if he was taken in the second round, you'd probably love him, and you would have never, ever said a bad word about him.
No,
but
see, I'm going to disagree. Just to a point, I think you were right in the first place when you said he was a good first-round pick, because a first-round pick doesn't necessarily, especially a late first-round pick, doesn't necessarily need to be an all-pro. What he needs to be is a foundational type player.
And I think he is.
That you get a decade out of. And he was that guy. Absolutely. The guy was way, way underappreciated.
And I only said that because fans expect so much out of first round picks. But like, if the Steelers took him in the second round, you'd be like, oh, how could you let this guy go?
The only
like,
reason that people criticized him, in my opinion, was it was a surprise pick. People weren't expecting it.
Surprise. Yes.
You know, Nick Chubb came out in the second round, early second round, and he was a fucking stud.
Lamar Jackson went four picks later.
Four picks later. You know, there were a couple of good players after the fact that went, you know, and played well. And everybody's got an opinion. And who was it they wanted? William Jackson III, that draft, right?
Yeah,
it
was the No.
That was already Burns' year.
No, yeah. Burns' year. No, the Edmunds' year was the year after Shazier's injury when they scouted all the middle linebackers.
Rashawn Evans was the guy they wanted.
Yeah.
They wanted Rashawn Evans, and he was gone.
Tennessee took him, yeah.
They ended
Dallas
up taking,
took Van Der Esch.
Yeah, they ended up taking – well, they didn't want Van Der Esch because of the issue with his neck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's right. They wanted Rashawn Evans. They didn't get him, so this was their fallback pick. Nobody expected it. So right away, people are criticizing it. What the fuck? It's a third round pick. No, they took him in the first. This is bullshit.
Well, at some point it is what it is. That's who they took.
Well, and the other side of it is like kind of like with Ben's favorite quarterback. The Steelers didn't do themselves any favors after the draft when they came out and said, oh, well, you know, this is the first safety we've taken in the first round since Troy Polamalu.
Right.
We expect to, you know, as soon as you just don't come out and say something like, oh, this is the first guy, you know, you don't draw comparisons with Troy Polamalu with anybody, let alone a guy you just took. Like, you know, you just say, hey, you know, he's a good player. We have high hopes for him. You know, he comes from a good footballing family. Mm-hmm. Obviously, his brother also got drafted. You know, we like what he can bring to our team, blah, blah, blah. But you don't come out in the press conference and be like, oh, this is the first time we've picked a safety in the first round since Troy. We have similar expectations.
I forgot about that.
They do,
And that, that's that, I think, maybe equivalent to – you know, most draft Knicks having a third round grade on him kind of sunk everyone's expectation. Like he was behind the eight ball before he even put on a jersey at that point, right? Because everyone, it's just, it was a stupid thing to say, but they came out and said it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're right. There was Lamar Jackson then lit it up, and then Ben got, you know, that was 2018, right? So,
What?
I was going to say that was 2018. Ben had a great year that year, but then the following year, Ben hurts his elbow in 2019. Right? We don't know if Ben's ever going to come back, and Lamar's lighting up the league, and we're like, why the fuck didn't they? Why'd they take this guy who can't cover and can't tackle and can't intercept the ball? You know, instead of Lamar, who could have sat on the bench for a year and now been our starter, and then you know Nick Chubb's lighting it up in Cleveland, and you're looking at these other and Shaq Leonard was the other one that that was the one where we were like, oh, we missed out on kind of the top four inside linebackers, and oh, the Steelers don't take guys from small schools in the first round. And Shaq Leonard goes out and makes a Pro Bowl his first year, was an all-pro player in Indy as an inside linebacker. And everyone's like, why do we take Edmunds when Shaq Leonard was there? And, you know, so that was the other one too. So I think part of it was there was just a lot of guys that went after him that had better careers than him, or more, I should say, more impactful careers so far.
Right.
So, you know, there's that too. But there's also guys that went in front of him that he's been much better than. So there's that too.
Yeah, and just real quick, let me make sure I, because I do have the glasses on, and we always know what that means. DraftKings, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code TPPN. Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pregame money line bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TPPN. Thank you to those guys. Thank you to the Pittsburgh podcast, or Pittsburgh, I wish. The,
Pigskin podcast.
Pigskin. My God, I'm losing my mind tonight. Pigskin. I saw Burner talking about Doug Hodges, and I got distracted.
Big Ben's Burner drinking a little Wild Turkey. Congrats again to your son. Cheers. My son will be here in about a month. Call God.
Let's Ben, what do you got going tonight since we're on the drinking topic?
Don Julio 70.
Don Julio and Ian.
I just dusted off some more of my Tullamore Dew, so getting myself another drink here.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Yes. I'm polishing off my Woodford Reserve right now.
Nice.
And be switching over to Bell's. I'm not sure which I got down there, but big week here. Bell's Oberon came out on Monday, so it is like a holiday here in Michigan when Bell's cracks open the Oberon. They had 8 different flavors of Oberon at the brew house this week. So I didn't get a chance to get over there and drink or try some of them, but they did look good.
Were any of them mango?
They could have been. I only saw there was a fruit punch. There was a habanero?
Habanero beer, interesting.
Yeah, it was a pepper and a couple others, but I did not. Of course, I would have paid special attention had it been mango. Of course. But yeah, you know, anyway. Guys, the Steelers' interior line is I don't really know what to make of it. So we knew that they went out and got Nate Herbig, who is a big, big man. And, you know, when you looked at the numbers, what he signed for definitely was going to be competition for Kevin Dotson. And then, my goodness, I don't think any of us saw it coming. They went out and got Isaac Samolo from the Eagles, who was the best interior guard lineman available. So, Ben, how does this all plug in and unplug here with what they're doing?
You know, I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Mm-hmm.
They signed 2 guards. Obviously, they're not happy with what they've got there.
Right.
Samalu's position in Philly was right guard. He's a better player even than James Daniels, who is a good player.
Very nice season.
I kind of have to wonder, now they've got 3 guys really inside, you know, are they planning on making a switch at center? Are they just planning on having these guys duke it out and leaving Mason Cole at center and just having 2 really good guards? I don't know. It's an odd development, if nothing else. It doesn't reflect very well on what they think of Kevin Dotson and the way that he played and the way that they think he's going to develop. So you have to wonder if he's on the outs, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm, to speak.
Mm-hmm. You know, Herbig is not without flaws. I mean, there's a reason he's been with the Eagles and the Jets in his first 3-4 years.
He's a fringe starter.
Right, right. And so did we look at him, therefore, as not necessarily a starter coming in?
Look at what
competition
he got $4 million a year. Okay. Right. So he didn't get starting guard money. He didn't get big money.
Mm-hmm.
in the free agent market. He got, you know, hey, this is a quality depth player slash, you know, fill in starter kind of guy. We'll give you $4 million a year. We want you to play here for a couple of years. How do you feel about that? Okay. Yeah, the picket fence thing, I'm not really that fond of. I don't know if you've seen anybody like walk, ride their bike through a picket fence. Picket fences aren't very sturdy. So, steel curtain. Now that's a great name. Picket fence. Nah.
Better than the Maginot line, but you know.
It is better than the Maginot line. You're right. Because you can just go around that. Yes. Sorry if you guys didn't get the history reference there. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I don't really know. I'm at a loss, honestly.
I think that's where all of us are. Yeah. Ian, do you think you got this figured out?
No. Going back a few episodes of the show to our blitzies, James Daniels was my offensive player of the year because he didn't give up any sacks. And, I think this is a good point by Noah, though. I do think Kendrick Green is the guy on the outs here. I know they certainly. Yeah.
Sorry. I usually don't fuck with you, Ian, but I'm sorry.
I fuck with you all the time. What are friends for if you can't screw with each other?
No, I just
I think that the fact that they've now signed multiple interior offensive linemen actually shows that the front office does have eyes that work. And they were like, hey, maybe we should stop giving up interior pressure. That screws up both the run game and the pass game. Coming into the offseason, I wanted them to rebuild the whole left side of the line because Dan Moore and Kevin Dotson couldn't handle a stunt to save their lives. But, you know, at the same time, obviously, they signed two guards now. You know, James Daniels has some previous experience at center, so maybe he could slide in. You know, but I think what we have now is, I would say we have five guys who are on the interior who are starter capable between Daniels, Cole, Somalu, Herbig, and Dotson. Right.
Yeah, but one of them has got to be a backup center. One of them has to at least be the backup center.
Right. And
Hassan Saucer.
Not a Hassan Saucer. Right.
Hassan Saucer, who's one of Ryan's favorite players, is a free agent.
Yeah.
For the names.
I don't know who the starters are going to be. I don't know what positions they're going to play. But I think you have enough guys here that we were extremely fortunate last year. I think we were the only team in the league that started the same offensive line every game.
Yep.
We were extremely fortunate in that respect. That doesn't happen. So I think we have enough depth now that if somebody gets hurt and misses a couple games, we have other guys who can step in, maybe not at center. Center's kind of the question mark. But the rest of, any guard position, yes, we're okay there. But I don't know what they're doing at tackle either because they don't have any backup tackles right now. Backup outside linebacker.
But honestly, Trent Scott, you mentioned that today.
He played 30 snaps.
He played 32 snaps all year. 31 on offense. I was like, who? Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I remember that guy.
He's in Washington now.
He's easily replaceable. I'm sorry. Yes. So absolutely. It's not like the depth that they had was quality depth. That's all I'm saying. Mm. So yes, the guy that I think they should take a look at.
What the hell are we talking about here?
The guy I think they should take a look at is Chris Hubbard.
Yeah,
he's
as
been
a swing
hurt,
tackle.
Though.
He has been, but if he's just a guy,
they should have tried. Here's a guy
practices during the week.
Yeah,
and holds a helmet on the sideline. Unless they need a snap here and there, maybe a start. A guy who can play four positions along the line if you need him to.
So, is there any way this is a potential indictment of Mason Cole at center?
And I mean, most
of us agree that we didn't have the greatest of expectations. He didn't have a great year, but he performed better than I think most of us anticipated he would.
He was competent.
Yes. And that's what concerns me, because what we see is obviously very different than what Mike Tomlin might see in terms of what he wants from his center. So, you know, as Ian talked about, do you move Daniels to center? And you know, now you've got Herbig / Dotson on the left, and you got Samalu on the right. You know, I still think they're going to try to upgrade Dan Moore. I mean, I do. I don't know if it's going to be a first round tackle, a second round tackle, but I think they're going to.
I don't know. I think they should.
Right.
But I don't know if they're going to.
I think if they take a tackle with one of their first three picks, so, you know, 17, 32, or 49,
right,
then that at least gives you a, I mean, there's a good amount of decent tackles in this class.
Yeah.
That, you know, you could take a tackle with one of your second round picks, let him basically be your backup swing tackle this year behind both Moore and Chooks. And then maybe next year he steps into a starting role, or maybe Dan Moore stinks so bad that, you know, by week seven, you're like, all right, we're going to put the rookie in. So either way, I think tackle is definitely a position of need early in the draft right now, because they have no depth there. They still could sign a guy. But nevertheless, they need something else there. But if they feel like the guys they have are starter capable, they may look for a younger guy that they can kind of draft and develop behind the guys they feel are starter capable.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys, you know, you look at a Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. He's a guy that's been projected. I've seen him anywhere from, you know, mid, late second. Some people have him in the first. You know, he's a guy that could slide down there because everybody else has taken other positions. So, you know, that's a possibility. Jen asked about, does it switching center mess with Kenny? I don't think so. I mean, usually by the time you go through spring and camp, that takes care of itself.
Yeah,
it might be an issue early on.
Yeah, it might be an issue in July. It won't be an issue anymore in September. Or it shouldn't be anyway.
Right.
Okay. It takes me back to when they signed Jeff Hardings and Cowher was losing his shit because they could not get the center quarterback exchange.
Yeah.
Down.
Hardings had been a guard
to that point. And they moved him to center, and it wasn't a position he played a lot. So he kind of had to learn it. And that was probably where the disconnect was. So if you've got a guy who's played a lot of center,
right,
it's not going to be as difficult.
Yeah, I think Daniels has had time at center both at Iowa and then for the Bears as well. Mm-hmm. He's not like Kendrick Green, who had four.
Poor fucking Kendrick Green, man.
I feel for the kid. I really do.
Because they put him in a position that he wasn't even comfortable with, because I don't think they had a better solution, which gets me to my point, is that we're arguing about four or five quality players that can play the interior line, and that's a good problem to have. And I got to go get some ice for this drink, but I want to say something real quick. My favorite part of Nate Herbig coming here was that, like, all you heard, like, they call him Big Nasty, whatever.
Yep.
And then when you heard him talk, he sounded like Ralphie May, R.I.P. Ralphie May. He was like, "What's up, Steeler Nation? Like, I'll do whatever you need. You know, I like punching people. Like, yeah, like." I just was like, "All right, I can get behind this guy. Big, they call me Big Nasty. I want to do some nasty thing. All right, I'll be back. Anyway, keep me."
Yeah, running. go get some ice. That's a good place to. That's funny. He did, didn't he? He did sound a little bit like him.
Shit. Goodbye, Steeler Nation.
They have they have signed some guys in free agency that are, I think, good leaders. I mean, they've signed a couple guys who are team captains,
why am I not remembering his name right now?
Holcomb.
Yeah,
we're both captains.
Yeah.
Yep.
And guys who have some attitude too, right? That have some nastiness to them. I like that.
Holcomb is a guy who has great straight line speed, but isn't as good at changing directions.
Right.
Isn't a good cover player. He may be maybe okay in the open field with changing direction, but he's not a good cover player.
He, if you watch him, he's okay in zone. He's pretty smart. I mean, I think he reads things well.
I think if he keeps the play in front of him, he'll be all right.
Yeah.
It's when the player gets behind him, if he's trying to play trail,
yes,
that's going to be a problem. Okay.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Remember when Lawrence Timmons, since we talked about him earlier,
yeah,
was young and he was so fucking good at playing in trail. Like,
yeah.
Even if the guy got the ball, Timmons would grab him and drop him
yeah.
on the spot, you know?
No,
we need a guy like that again. We need an athlete like that again in the inside.
I find what
those
they're
guys
doing
are hard to find, though. I mean,
they are.
Coverage linebackers don't grow on trees.
No, because you're asking these guys to be run stuffers, and you're also asking them to play in hip pocket of tight ends, running backs, slot receivers. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy where
the
position has gone. But I'm curious to see where this is headed as far as the draft. We're a little more than a month out, just strictly because I 2 weeks ago, I don't think I would have said tackle was at the top of their list anymore. But with what they're doing with the O-line, I'm starting to think it is.
It won't hurt my feelings fucking any.
Absolutely not.
You know, investing in the offensive line that we bitched about all year last year.
I was laughing this week, and I'm sure you guys got a kick out of it too. The fact that Tomlin did not attend the USC Pro Day,
Iowa State, baby,
and instead went to the metropolis of Ames, Iowa, to see Iowa State. Of course, USC having the former Pitt wideout Jordan Addison. Nobody's saying they wouldn't draft him. But
okay.
Yeah.
Addison is a 5'10", 173-pound guy who I think is going to be a slot receiver.
I agree. He's going to have to be.
You don't take that guy at 17. I am sorry.
But he played with Kenny.
I am sorry. You just fucking don't. And, you know, honestly, I don't even think you take him at 32, given all their other fucking needs.
Well, but he's Jamar Chase 2.0.
He's really not.
He's not the size of Jamar Chase's leg.
When we were talking about earlier about the 17, I was looking through some mock drafts, and I've seen a couple analysts mock him to the Ravens in the first round. And I could see
I could see
Steelers fans getting really upset about that, but also I could be like, I don't really give a shit. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player, but like,
I think he's going to be a good player, but something I talked about this week on the Twitter is,
I'm not going to say he sucks or he's great.
There are the Jamar Chases. Okay. And the Calvin Johnsons of the world, that rare air of fucking great wide receiver, Jerry Rice. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there's the second tier of guys that are just good. All right.
Here's the guy.
Those guys in the second tier are becoming more replaceable because more and more receivers are coming out of college pro ready.
Yes.
So it's like, well, if I got I got a good receiver, but he's not great. He's not like I said, Jamar Chase, you don't let that guy get away, period, ever. What do you want? You want 30 million? All right. I guess that's what we're paying you. Give him 30 million. You know, that guy, you don't look at away. But a guy who is just good, who wants 20 million, we probably could draft a good wide receiver. He might not be as productive as you this year.
Mm-hmm.
But for the next 3 years after that, he will be. And we'll have to pay him basically 1/10 of what you're asking for. Less than that, 1/15 of what you're asking for over the next 4 years. You know, from a simple cost benefit analysis there, I think we're just going to draft the guy and you can go play for fucking Detroit or whoever wants to pay you.
Well, I think that's what we saw last year in the draft when you had so many receivers get traded for first round picks. And then those teams turned around and picked receivers with those picks.
Right.
Which worked out pretty damn well for the Eagles getting AJ Brown, but
he's pretty
AJ Brown is fucking good.
Yeah.
And also, you know, he's not just a fast, good route runner with nice hands. He's also stronger than shit.
He's a very large individual playing that position.
Yeah.
Well, and so that
makes it
years.
Even harder. And Ed, right. on top of that, when he moved to Philly, he had a chip on his shoulder. It wasn't just about I'm going to get paid, and then he relaxed. Then when the Titans let him leave, he got pissed.
Yeah.
Right.
He got pissed and worked even harder.
That dude had all of Nashville on his shoulder when he left that town.
He did, dude. Yeah. He did. He had a fucking, yeah.
When, and the
people
the,
say they have a 2x4 on their shoulder. They got a 6x8 on his shoulder.
Yeah, fucking
Christ, man.
Dude,
he was
the whole
pissed.
Tennessee on his
those,
shoulder.
The best was, one of those first-round deals that worked out for everybody was when Minnesota sent Stephon Diggs to Buffalo, who was great in Buffalo and really helped Josh Allen develop.
Right.
And then got, who did Minnesota got, take? Justin Jefferson with that
yeah.
pick.
Yeah, no, like, that's a great point.
You know, don't forget.
Don't forget the Bills could have had Antonio Brown. Had he said yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, actually, that's true. And, and you have to wonder how much better the Bills would have been and whether or not AB would have won a Super Bowl ring there.
Yeah.
In Buffalo. Now he lives in Albany, and he seems to think it's just fine. You know, upstate New York is okay now, I guess. Anyway, whatever.
I do want to say one
where
other
did,
thing.
Where did Marquise Brown go again?
Arizona.
I think he's Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did the Ratbirds do with that pick?
Would they take Rashad Bateman? Is that?
No. No, it would have been. This year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been. Or Kyle
this
Hamilton.
This year or last year?
No, Kyle Hamilton was their first pick.
I'm with Burner. Diggs rubs me the wrong way, too.
Yeah.
He's a fucking wide receiver. It's just that
I
position.
Know.
Is,
yeah.
I mean, they just, took it breeds that shit.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Linderbaum,
about
they took Linderbaum. That, seriously? Yeah. Ouch. That fucking hurts.
Yeah.
Is that
Noah got it?
Is that y'all fucking love Antonio Brown, but literally.
I love his talent.
But
right?
The guy's a dick.
Stephon Diggs and Antonio Here Brown down. Have the same mannerisms. Right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And they're both about as productive because their quarterbacks love to feed them the ball. But I'm saying, like, you can't say that about one wide receiver, but then, like, turn a blind eye because Antonio Brown's on your team. But, I mean, all fans
yeah,
are
but
like
you,
that
all,
forever.
Fans are like that for sure.
Absolutely.
Fans are just, absolutely yes. fucking like that.
Fuck.
I mean, yep. not Steelers fans, but all the other fans.
Right.
Are like, I'm not even saying. He Diggs does get upset. He's very emotional.
I'm lying. Steelers fans are like that, too.
Yeah.
One other thing.
There hasn't been
say.
As much okay. off-field shit with Diggs, okay? I'll just put that out there. There hasn't been as much off-field bullshit.
No, he
with
seems
Diggs.
Like a genuine good dude.
No, and I think he's now. A good dude. He just whines
yeah,
a lot.
He's just a fucking prima donna.
Yeah.
That fucking position just breeds yep. assholes.
Yep.
Here's a guy
Ian, you were saying?
Mitch Trubisky in the face.
I do want to say, you know, we've talked a lot on the show in the past about our uncertainty for how Omar would kind of handle things. And you know, Andy Weidel, we weren't really sure where, you know, how the interplay was going to be between Omar and Andy, who was going to make personnel decisions. I've been pretty happy with what they've done in free agency so far.
Oh,
like big picture, you know, they've been much more active in the first week than Kevin ever was. And I'm not trying to knock on Kevin Colbert, but I'm just saying they've been more active in the first week. hey, Kevin Colbert, fellow North Catholic graduate. I would never knock on him.
You're right.
But yeah, Kevin was never active in the first week. You know, he always waited for the dust to settle and said, well, you know, we'll find value guys. And they've been active without giving away any crazy contracts, though.
Right.
They've signed good players to pretty team-friendly contracts. Most, you know, I think the biggest was the 3-year deal for Somalu. Yeah. But and the rest of them have just been 2-year deals, which is essentially a 1-year deal with a team option for the second year. Right. But nevertheless, you know, they haven't crushed themselves from a cap standpoint. They've signed good players to reasonable deals at positions of need. And so I can't complain. I like what they've done so far. For, you know, I had some trepidation about how Omar, who, you know, my impression is he's a business guy, not a football guy, how Omar was going to handle his first free agency mm-hmm. as a GM, and whether it's Omar or Andy or whoever else is kind of pulling the trigger. I like what they've done so far. I'm happy with it. I think they'll probably sign 5 or 6 more free agents somewhere along the line. But
I need a little splash, Melvin. I need a little splash of that ginger ale.
Ginger ale.
I got a baby appointment in the morning.
That's right, man.
So yeah, so
he's
got
to go be around hospital equipment.
I wanted to put it on the record that I'm. We'll see how the guys actually perform, but I'm pretty happy with how they've. Seems like they've had a plan, they've followed it, and they haven't hamstrung themselves from a cap standpoint. So
I think you're right, Ian. I think I've been kind of in the same boat. Very pleased at what they've done. Nothing ridiculous. Is there maybe I can make arguments that I would have liked them to try to keep Sutton a little more, but we'll never know if they had the opportunity or not. So. Is what it is, so we are, we're going to move over to, Mr. Casey Kasem here. And, as I mentioned in a social media post, yes, Ben. Point. Yes.
The Samalu signing.
Yeah.
Was a huge fucking value. People are not talking about that.
I agree.
I don't know how that guy lasted as long as he did and why he got as little as he did,
which scares me,
but holy fucking shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, great deal. Started every game last year for Philly. Did have a few injury issues the year prior.
He's a really good player. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
He brings the attitude, which I love. That offensive line has needed it. Anyway, we're going to bring in Casey Kasem. Then we're going to close up shop, have a brief intermission, and then we will be back with overtime tonight.
Oh God!
There will be some overtime, so you're just going to have to be patient. But in any case, let's go to the
record
the FM dial for Mr. Casey Kasem.
Oh boy, Casey's coast to coast, American top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was March 23rd, 1974. Ryan for Pittsburgh writes, Dear Casey, but my Kenny, he's all right. Oh, my Kenny's clean out of sight. Don't you know that Kenny is some kind of wonderful? Casey, many don't know that was the actual lyrics to Grand Funk Railroad's first take. However, recording engineer Shelly Yakis, one of the best in the industry and a huge Cowboys fan, said, no way, something didn't sound right. And he had the band change the lyrics. I guess it was for the best, Casey. Some kind of wonderful made its way up to number 3 on the charts. Had they kept Kenny Pickett in the lyrics, it would have been average at best.
Oh.
Speaking of some kind of wonderful, former Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger graced us with his presence this week. Casey, how lucky are we that we get to hear from the old cowboy? That's right, Casey. We are all so much better for having heard that the 49ers reached out to him last season when they were dealing with all kinds of injuries at the quarterback position. Casey, you ever notice Ben always emerges at the perfect time since he retired? The first Steelers draft without him? Hey, it's me. The Steelers first practice without him? Hey, it's me. The Steelers first game without him? Hey, it's me. Is it Ben Roethlisberger or Taylor Swift? The guy has better timing than a Rolex. Just when you think he's finally gone away for good, he pops up like a reoccurring case of fire crotch. Casey, do you know where I can get some treatment? Asking for a friend. Back to the point here. I find it hard to believe that 49ers reached out to Ben, but then again, I don't. You see, Ben was never the workout warrior. In fact, he had his best seasons, arguably, when he was on the Husky side. I mean, the guy is just talking football and drinking beers every week on his podcast. Who does he think he is? The Steel City Blitz? Casey will never know if the 49ers did indeed reach out to Big Ben, but we do know he's hooked on a feeling. Well, Ryan, we don't deserve you. Speaking of number 7, up 7 spots this week to number 7, here's Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede.
Wow.
Nice!
That was.
By the way, somebody's got to get with Big Ben and tell him he's got to figure that cowboy hat on, man. I think he's wearing it backwards. It just doesn't look right. He's been wearing it more and more.
I think Ben has a giant fucking head.
Well,
Do you remember when Ben single-handedly ended the fedora fad by himself by wearing one to a press conference after a game? Ryan was there. He remembers.
Wait, what was it?
The fedora.
The fedora fad. Ben Roethlisberger ended it by himself by wearing it to a press conference, people were like, oh my God. Oh yeah. I'll never do that again.
You know, it was weird because I mean, this is all on the internets, but like, go look at Ben before, like, he was accused of stuff and after.
Yeah.
And, his wardrobe changed dramatically. Like,
yes,
the like the 2006 ESPY Awards, he wore like a Notre Dame, like, gigantic football jersey with like a backwards hat and a really terrible goatee.
Yep.
And then obviously he went through, you know, some issues. And then all of a sudden, like, he was professional and he started wearing a fedora and not jeans. And so, like, bless his heart.
All right, we're gonna wrap things up here. There is an overtime episode coming up in just about 5 minutes. Give us a few minutes to get that loaded up and ready to go. You'll be able to find it once again on the YouTube channel there, so stay tuned and we will be back shortly. But this is the SCB Steelers Podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hey, go Steelers.
Ravens suck.